Welcome to episode 991 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The narrator of the book of Philemon is the Apostle Paul. The letter is a personal and pastoral epistle from Paul, and it is written in the first person, indicating his direct involvement in the situation it addresses. Paul likely wrote the letter to Philemon around AD 60 to 62. This time frame coincides with his first imprisonment in Rome, during which he also wrote other prison epistles, such as Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. The book of Philemon was written in the context of a specific situation involving a runaway slave named Onesimus. Onesimus was enslaved by Philemon, a Christian leader, and likely a wealthy member of the church in Colossae. After fleeing from his master, Onesimus encountered Paul in Rome, where Paul was under house arrest. Through Paul's ministry, Onesimus converted to Christianity and became a valuable helper to Paul. In this letter, Paul appeals to Philemon to forgive Onesimus and receive him not just as a returning slave, but as a brother in Christ. The letter addresses themes of reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transformative power of the gospel, urging Philemon to act according to his faith and Christian love. Paul uses his own authority gently, encouraging Philemon to welcome Onesimus willingly, and offering to cover any debt or wrong Onesimus may have caused. The epistle demonstrates the radical social implications of the gospel, showing how Christian relationships transcend cultural norms and social hierarchies, promoting unity and brotherhood among all believers. Slavery was a pervasive institution in the Roman Empire during the time of Paul. It was deeply embedded in the social, economic, and legal fabric of the ancient world, with a large proportion of the population in some regions being enslaved. Slavery in the Roman context was not based primarily on race or ethnicity, but was a complex institution with a variety of circumstances under which people became slaves, and various possibilities for manumission or gaining freedom. People from many different backgrounds could become slaves in the Roman Empire. There were several different categories of slaves. Prisoners of war. Many slaves were captives taken during wars and military campaigns. Conquered populations, especially in regions such as Gaul, Greece, and the Middle East, were often enslaved and brought to Rome or other parts of the empire. Born into slavery. Children born to enslaved parents were automatically considered slaves. This form of slavery was perpetual, as the status was inherited from the mother. Kidnapping and piracy victims. In some cases, people were kidnapped by pirates or bandits and sold into slavery. This was especially common in areas with less stable governance. Debt slavery. Individuals who could not pay their debts might sell themselves or their family members into slavery as a means of settling the debt. This was a form of economic servitude. Criminals and abandoned children. Criminals could be sentenced to slavery as punishment. Additionally, abandoned children, particularly those left to die by exposure, could be picked up and raised as slaves. The variety of reasons for slavery reflected the economic, military, and social needs of the Roman Empire. Slavery provided a labor force for agricultural estates, households, mines, construction projects, and many other economic activities. Slaves were essential to the empire's economy, serving in both skilled and unskilled positions. Slaves were often used in households for various roles, such as household managers, cooks, cleaners, tutors, or personal attendants. Enslaving prisoners of war served both as a way to handle conquered populations and as a deterrent to rebellion or resistance against Rome. Slavery allowed Roman elites to accumulate wealth by minimizing labor costs and maximizing profits from their estates and businesses. As a form of legal punishment, slavery was a way to enforce laws and control the population, particularly for crimes that were considered serious. Owners could grant freedom to slaves in their wills or through a formal legal process. Some slaves were set free as a reward for faithful service, as an act of charity, or to display the owner's generosity. Some slaves, particularly those in skilled positions, were allowed to earn money on the side. If they could save enough, they could buy their own freedom, often by paying their owner a sum equivalent to their market value. Slaves who performed extraordinary services for their owners, saved their owner's life, or served faithfully for many years might be freed as a reward. Under Roman law, There were certain incentives and conditions for freeing slaves. For instance, slaves who had been freed could become freedmen or freed women, who retained some social limitations, but also gained certain legal rights. Some slaves were manumitted as part of a religious ceremony or vow. This was particularly common among wealthy Romans who sought favor from the gods or desired to make a public display of piety. Philemon lived in Colossae, a city in the Roman province of Asia, modern-day Turkey. As a slave owner, he was part of the social elite and had considerable resources, indicating his status and influence in the local community. It is not clear when he became a slave owner, or the reasons why Onesimus was his slave. He was a convert to Christianity, who likely came to faith through the ministry of Paul. In the letter, Paul refers to him as his dear friend and fellow worker, and says, "You owe me your very self," suggesting that Philemon may have been converted through Paul's direct influence, possibly during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, which was a regional center for missionary work. Philemon appears to have been a prominent member of the early Christian community. His home was used as a house church. Hosting a church in his home indicates that Philemon was a leader and had a large enough house to accommodate gatherings, reflecting both his social standing and his commitment to the faith. Paul praises Philemon for his love and faith, stating, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus." Paul also acknowledges Philemon's generosity and encouragement to the saints, saying, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." These attributes suggest that Philemon was a kind, compassionate, and charitable individual who actively supported fellow believers. Philemon's slave, Onesimus, had run away, likely taking some of Philemon's property with him. Onesimus fled to Rome, where he encountered Paul and subsequently converted to Christianity. Paul asks Philemon to receive Onesimus back, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. The letter is not only addressed to Philemon, but also to Apphia, likely his wife, Archippus, a fellow Christian worker, and the church that meets in his house, which implies that Philemon's decisions, particularly regarding Onesimus, would be of significance to the broader Christian community. His influence extended beyond his household, and his response to Paul's request would serve as an example to others in the church. In his letter, Paul subtly challenges Philemon's social and cultural norms. By asking Philemon to accept Onesimus back as a brother in Christ, Paul is requesting a radical shift in the traditional master-slave relationship. This would have been a significant and challenging request for Philemon, reflecting Paul's emphasis on Christian equality and reconciliation. Tradition holds that Philemon, moved by Paul's letter, forgave Onesimus and accepted him back, not merely as a slave but as a beloved brother in Christ. Some accounts suggest that Philemon may have even granted Onesimus his freedom. According to later Christian tradition, Onesimus went on to become a significant leader in the early church, with some sources stating that he eventually became the bishop of Ephesus. Philemon himself is believed to have continued his work within the Christian community, possibly suffering martyrdom for his faith, although details about his later life remain uncertain. The story of Philemon and Onesimus demonstrates the transformative power of the gospel in breaking down social barriers and fostering genuine reconciliation. Paul's appeal to Philemon encourages us to act out of love, not obligation, reflecting the same grace that Christ has extended to us. Today, we are called to embrace this same spirit of forgiveness, equality, and love in our relationships, transcending societal norms and prejudices. In a world divided by social and cultural differences, the letter to Philemon challenges us to view everyone as equal members of God's family. May we be inspired to live out this radical love, promoting unity and reconciliation wherever we go. Father, we thank you for the example of grace and reconciliation in the story of Philemon and Onesimus. Help us to embody your love and forgiveness in all our relationships, breaking down barriers that divide us. Guide us to live out your gospel with courage and compassion, always seeking unity in your spirit. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.